For our scripture reading, we turn to two passages. First, the Old Testament and then the New Testament, in which we commemorate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 49, first of all, verses 1 through 17. Isaiah 49. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. And then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. To him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in time of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves, that they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these shall from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Let's now turn also to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the days of Isaiah, the people of God had a complaint on their lips. They were going through rough times of exile. God was visiting them because of their sins. And this was the complaint of the church then. Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. That's at times how God's people can feel. Ignored and forgotten. There can be times that we are afraid that God does not want to think about us. But what was God's answer? The Lord shows that He has not forgotten His people. He asked the question, Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? God is asking this question and saying, Is God like a mother who gives birth to a son, a son that needs to be nursed? But is God one who neglects to do so? And the answer to this question is yea or yes. They may forget, God says, yet will I not forget thee. An earthly mother might even forget her child. But God doesn't. God remembers His people. And the picture here is that God's love is far more tender for His church than a mother for a little child that nurses. God does not ignore the needs of the child. God has birthed spiritual children, and He will make sure that they will be fed, they will be nourished, they will grow, they will not be forgotten, they will be comforted. Why? Because the gospel of Christmas, the gospel of Christ's birth, God gave His only begotten Son. He took upon Himself flesh, human flesh. God became A helpless baby crying for food, needing a mother. A mother was going to care for the Son of God. A mother would nurse the Son of God, God Himself. Beloved, that's the wonder of Christmas. That's the wonder of Christmas. God doesn't neglect or forget His spiritually crying infants, because He became a crying infant with needs just like yours and mine. Christmas tells us, among other many things, that God has not forgotten His people. God has not forgotten His people. And this morning we want to celebrate those good tidings of great joy, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we desire that Isaiah 49 tells us something more about Luke 2. Our text is taken from Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Our theme is the good news of Christmas. First, His arrival. He is the good news. He's coming to a needy world. Second, the angel's announcement here. We focus on that good news that was told to the shepherds. And then, lastly, the gospel's motivation. Here, we learn how the gospel puts all things into action. Christmas changes a lot in our lives. First of all, He arrived. The good news arrived. And let us notice that this arrival of Jesus Christ, the good news, was appointed, first of all, from eternity. Comfort to God's people comes on God's appointed time. He knows perfectly what is needed. We often want it sooner than later. But the Bible teaches that also Christ was born at God's time. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And Luke tells us also, while they were there, the days were accomplished. God's appointed time. The days were accomplished. It was the fullness of time. That means that God didn't come a minute later than was planned from eternity. God sent forth His Son. He said, "My Son, now it's really time. You need to go to Bethlehem to be born. It's time for you to be born from the Virgin Mary, so that you can fulfill those prophecies of Micah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be a ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. My Son, go. Go, you need to fulfill this prophecy. You are the one whose goings forth are from everlasting. You are the only one who is from eternity, born already, but from eternity." Think about the children. Normally, children, babies are born. Do they exist? Yes, maybe we can say they exist in the mind of God, but not like Christ. From eternity. But here, Jesus Christ, the everlasting God, takes upon Himself human flesh and steps into time to be born. And so let us open our Bibles in Luke 2 in our minds, in our hearts, and let us be amazed afresh this morning when we hear those well-known words, "And it came to pass in those days," God's perfect time, "that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the world would be taxed. Children, think about it. God was directing all of history to the minutest detail. There, somewhere in Rome, Caesar did signed a decree, and then a poor couple in Nazareth, as a result, start to make their journey to Bethlehem, and that's where the eternal Son of God, according to prophecy, had to be born, entering into our world at God's appointed time and God's appointed place to bring God's appointed favor. It's the second thing we notice here. The time of Christ's arrival in this world was a time of God's favor, and that's what we learned from Isaiah 49 verse 8. This was the prophecy of Christ's birthday. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, in a day of salvation have I helped thee. What does that mean, acceptable time? It means time of God's favor. This is the time that God wanted to bless His people. This is the tidings of good news, of great joy, of the gospel. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men, just as the angels sang. Christ's birth and Christmas tells us God favors sinful human beings. He favors them. He cares for them. Even better than a mother who nurses her little child. This was the time, beloved, of Christ's arrival in the world, in which there was no place for Him. No place. A glorious day. The angels rejoicing and looking on with wonder and amazement and praise and adoration. When we hear those words, and she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger, finally he arrived. Think about it. He who created all the galaxies and glaciers and has created everything in its place and has given so many things a place of rest. And he comes to Bethlehem, and Bethlehem says, no room. No little comfortable room to be born. He came to his own, and his own received him not. There was no room for him in the inn. Is your heart open this morning to welcome him? Is it wide open? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, thou long expected Savior. Come. Occupy my heart. No room for God. Tragic, that's by nature. But then, He still comes. He still comes. And He lays Himself down. Who had ever thought that He lays Himself down? Lowest place. Lowest place. Helpless. Crying for food, needing a mother to nurse him. God! Why would he? Why would he? He did not need it. But we need it. We need it. Jesus arrived at the time that this world was in desperate need of salvation, and that God's glory needed to be served. God's glory. Listen to Isaiah 49 verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And that's what we hear constantly throughout this chapter, don't we? Verse 1. The Lord, speaking about the Lord Jesus, hath called me from the womb, from the bowels, or better, the body of my mother, hath he made mention of my name. Verse 3 says, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. God is going to bring glory to Himself. And verse 5 says, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be His servant." God did not just want us to come and bring a pleasant Christmas feeling this morning. He came with a mission. Because we have desperately destroyed ourselves. He came with a mission, with a purpose to be a servant. To be a servant, perfect servant. A servant of God, bringing glory to God, perfect glory to God. That was His mission. Determined from eternity. Now, sometimes when we as children, or children when you grow up, people ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Firefighter, mother, doctor, farmer, or something? In Lord Jesus, it was determined from eternity what He would be. A servant. Now, children, can you imagine when you would, when someone would ask that question and you would say, "I want to be a servant." A servant? I only want to serve God, my Father, perfectly, and my neighbor, perfectly. I want to bring glory to God as I serve Him. That's what Christ came to do. Determined from eternity. Before He was born. Isn't that what He said? When He lived and walked this earth, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. This is the Savior. This is His arrival. Come, let us adore Him. Come. He is from eternity. He came in the flesh. He became a born baby, born in Bethlehem to serve, to bring salvation, to bring undeserved favor, to help us in our wretchedness and deepest need. The Lord formed this Christ in the womb to be a servant. God's servant. And so that's how God shows that He has not forgotten us in our deepest needs. He's not forgotten to be gracious. Let this humble us, because that means that we don't just need a quick fix. We need salvation from our desperate sins. We can't help. We can save. We can comfort ourselves the way we are born. In fact, Ezekiel 16 tells us that we, in our sin, are like a helpless newborn baby, and it pictures us in our desperate, wicked sins. We are left behind by our mother. We are not cared for. The umbilical cord is not cut. We are not washed. We are still wallowing in our blood. Those days they would rub the babies with salt. That wasn't done either. We were not swaddled. None took care of us. We were cast in the open field. That's what sin does. It makes us detestable. Polluted. But now Christ comes. He comes to be born as a baby. There was no room for Him. He came to be born lowly. He was cared for. He was swaddled. He was nursed and in a manger. And the Lord formed Him to be a servant from the womb. He is the answer to our desperate wickedness and our sin. We serve it. We love it by nature. And He is perfect servant who serves God from the very moment of conception and all the day of His life with perfection. And that's what the angels announce with great joy. Do we understand that joy? That joy. Do we want to join in this morning? Does it touch our hearts? It should surprise us if it doesn't touch our hearts. And it certainly should not surprise us when we know our sin. It often barely touches our heart, doesn't it? Have we seen the wonder, beloved, of God becoming flesh? It's announced to us today. Do we want to sing aloud for joy? And listen to the good news as we come to our second point here. Our text says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all peoples. Here God, who is the good news, Christ, who is the good news, Christ, who is embodying, His body is the good news, is just born. And all the angels watched with amazement and holy wonder and astonishment. God is entering into flesh. But soon God sends one of those bright messengers of glory and of good news, and He says, go to the fields of Ephratah. Go, my servant, and tell, this day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day of salvation. And as the glory then lights upon those shepherds who sit there in the darkness of the night, and they get the shock of their lifetime, it says they were sore afraid, they were terribly afraid, they hear these good tidings of great joy. Fear not! Don't fear. No need to fear. For there is an amazing reason God comes to comfort His people. God has not forgotten His people. Behold, listen up. I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you a message of good news, the best news in the world. The news that can flood your heart with great joy. True joy, adoration, amazement that shall be to all people. It's not just for a few, not just for you shepherds. This message is good news for all people. We know that not all will receive it as such. Now that doesn't make it any worse. That doesn't make it bad news. This will ever and ever be good news. Good news to the world. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And that's what we hear from Isaiah 2 in 49. It's good news for sinful men and women, boys and girls. We hear the echo in Isaiah verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken. Listen. That also means listen or obey. Ye people from afar, the Lord hath called me from the womb. The word isles here means the distant shores, the ends of the earth. This is good news for the world. Verse 6. Christ, perfect servant, will bring glory to God. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. You see that? Ends of the earth. I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. Christ is a light in the darkness of a sin-cursed world, where thorns have infested the ground. Christ is a light in the darkness where sinners are born with wicked and self-serving hearts. Christ is a light for sinners who belong to the kingdom of darkness. Christ is a light in a place where in the darkest heart He can shine. He can shine. He will bring salvation even to the very corners of the earth. Sinners of all kinds. How will Christ do this? Isaiah tells us in verse 2, He hath made him my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand hath He hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In the quiver hath He hid me. What is the picture here? God's mouth, Christ's mouth, His words are cutting to the very core of our hearts. It's like a hidden dagger that in someone's hand, and it cuts deep into our souls. It exposes our sins. It's like a polished shaft that is aimed at enemies' hearts. And God makes that word so powerful, it hits right into our heart, into the very core of our being, in the enemy's heart, and the heart of the enemies of the kings. This is what He does through His word. This is the mission of this perfect servant of God. He is going to make war. War. Wound our consciences. To save us. To help us. To deliver us from the wickedness of our hearts. Do we know this power, beloved? When we read the Word, when we listen to the Word. That He rips those sins out of our heart. By His Word. We won't expect that on Christmas, do we? We want to hear about a helpless child. But that's what's needed. Can this helpless child do that? He can't even talk. He can only cry. At this moment in time that we remember. Can He conquer mighty enemies? How can He bring salvation? Isaiah saw it. It looked like everything was in vain. Verse 4. Then I said, I labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing, and in vain. And you look at the responses. Israel didn't want to be gathered. Though Israel be not gathered, yet I shall be glorified in the eyes of the Lord. I will bring glory to my God. But God's word, beloved, never returns void, useless. Christ is going to overcome by the power of His mouth. He who still needed to learn to talk would be a mighty warrior and overcome with his mouth. And verse 9 talks about that. Verse in chapter Isaiah, chapter 49, it says what he's going to do. He's going to speak. That thou mayest say to prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourself. That's what he does. Is there someone here today who's trapped in the bondage of sin, imprisoned by Satan, not able to come out, trapped by your lust and desires and your evil thoughts, entrenched in lies, unable to come out? This Savior, born in Bethlehem, He grew up, and His mouth was and still is like that mouth of a warrior, overcoming with great power and grace to rule our hearts. He even strives with our hearts right now through the Word. But here He lies, a weak, helpless baby, never being able, at least that's what it seems, never being able to win any battle. What is the secret? What is the secret of Him winning any battles and overcoming with His mouth? It's the secret of God empowering Him. He being God Himself. But in this chapter it says especially that God empowers Him. 49 verse 5 it says, and my God shall be my strength. God is his strength. There's a beautiful verse in Psalm 22, verse 9. But thou art he, God the Father, that took me, God the Son, out of the womb. Isn't that an amazing picture? God the Father takes his Son out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. God puts hope in his heart even when he's nursing. And I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Yes, it speaks about David in his distress, but this speaks prophetically about Jesus, the greater David. His mother cast him upon the Lord, upon his heavenly Father. From the very start of his life to the very finish of his life, there was this power to rely and hope and trust upon God his Father. From the very moment of his birth, even as a nursing baby. Even as a nursing baby. Even when helpless and weak, the Lord was his strength. And that's why he can be our salvation this morning. Salvation to the ends of the earth. For he is a servant without sin. Because we commit sin from the very first cry. Yes, even before. In sin, my mother has conceived me, David says. This is the wonder of Christmas. This is the wonder of Christmas. Let us come and adore him this morning. His mission is to be a light. His mission is to be an arrow. His mission is to be a sword. Is there someone here in spiritual darkness? Let Christ light upon you through his word. Take you out of your darkness. Is someone here who says God has forgotten me, he's passed me by? Look in the manger, God has not forgotten this world. Is there someone here who is perhaps constantly looking to be better, to work harder, to trying to please the Lord every moment of the day in your own strength? Without the power of the Spirit, here is the perfect empowered Spirit, servant who is full of the Spirit, who served God from A to Z of his life. His entire life. Is there someone here this morning who struggles with the sins of your youth? They come back to you. They haunt you. They make you feel guilty. Here's a sinless baby born who hoped upon God even while nursing. Is there someone who says, well, yeah, that was Adam. He shouldn't have done that. And why am I guilty for it? I tell you, don't start blaming others. It's your sin. My sin. Let us repent and ask this warrior to defeat our sins on our behalf. Is there perhaps someone who struggles to see how you can ever be saved? You feel so trapped. This baby, he speaks. Go forth. Come out of your sins. And his word is like an arrow into your heart. This, beloved, is the gospel of Christmas. When you and I come and adore Him and bow down and kneel down before this Christ born in Bethlehem, this little baby, who is God glorified, to be glorified forever and ever. This gospel will do something. It will not leave us the way we are. There's supernatural power that comes with this gospel, so that we cannot but confess that it is only God's work working in us. We are going to look at that motivating power after we sing. When we embrace Him, adore Him, this gospel of Christmas, it motivates us to four things. It motivates us, first of all, to praise and adoration. Do we understand now that that glorious day, the heavens broke open and the angels burst forth into glorious song? Are we joining in this morning? We don't know if they really sang or if they said something. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that they praised God for the gospel of Christmas. God born to redeem sinners. The God-man, Christ Jesus. This gospel moves them to wonder, amazement, and praise. Christ born in Bethlehem, our only hope. Our only hope. Who are born and conceived in sin. The angels praise Him, adore Him with perfection. Their hearts just, as all have always been, like a flying flame, flaming fire, on zealous for the Lord, perfectly. God created them that way. They never fell. They never sinned. And so they burst in song. What a song that must have been. But weren't we created for adoration too? For His glory? Shouldn't we be joining in this morning? Have we been set free that we should be joining in? He is our only hope. Christ is the power of salvation. How have we come this morning? Our hearts singing. Our hearts worshiping. Our hearts filled with adoration and praise. Beloved, when we praise the Lord, can we say that we sometimes have foretastes of heaven in our soul? If the gospel doesn't move us, there's something wrong. If it doesn't move us to praise, there's something wrong. But it also not only moves angels or motivates angels, it motivates the shepherds. What do they do? How do they worship? Motivates them to seek Christ. To seek Christ. When they had heard that beautiful song, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. These simple shepherds desiring, despised by many, unimportant in the dark of the night, they have experienced something of the glory of God on their souls. They go and hurry themselves to Bethlehem. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see these things which have come to pass. Verse 15. That's the power of God's word. We want to be close to Jesus. I need to be close to Him. The angels spoke and they moved into action. We must see Him. We must have Him. We must embrace Him. We must worship Him. Can that be said about your life? Is our soul awakened? Is that desire there through the Holy Spirit? I must worship Jesus. I must seek after Him until I have found Him and embrace Him and kiss Him and glorify Him. Awaken to praise. Awaken to seeking. And third, awaken to tell others. No matter whether they listen or not, we must tell. That motivates us. Thirdly, the gospel motivates us to tell others. Verse 17, and when they had heard it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. That's God's work. He empowers us, He moves us, He motivates us. We want to tell. This is the best news in the world. Is that your desire? Is that your prayer? Is that what moves our lives? And fourth, it motivates us to trust that His kingdom will come. It will come. Christ is given to as a light for the Gentiles. His word is going to be powerful. We've tasted of it. It will be like a sharp sword and a polished arrow. He is able to fling those prison doors wide open. And so we trust His kingdom will come. He's going to make sure it will. The question is this morning, how does Christmas move us? To wonder and adoration, to praise and worship, to seeking more of Christ, to telling others about Christ, to trusting that His kingdom will come. If you say this morning, the gospel is not motivating me, then you need to search your heart. If you don't know how the gospel motivates you to these things, then something is not right. Either you are backslidden, or you're still lifeless, it's possible, or you have made an empty confession, or the Lord might be hiding His face indeed and testing you. God's word always motivates us and always empowers us, equips us. It's the power of His Spirit that moves us, and we desire the glory of God, just like Jesus. And the more it motivates us and the more it moves us, the more we find the joy. And the more we know, He's not forsaken me. And God has remembered His people there in Bethlehem. And He has remembered salvation even to the ends of the earth. So if you are in the dark today, if you wonder, has God forsaken me? Then I ask you first, have you forsaken God? Do you know how lost you are without Christ? Because if there's anything that teaches us this morning, Christmas teaches us this morning, it's supposed to bring great joy to our hearts. Christmas is supposed to do that. The gospel is supposed to bring true comfort to our lives, spiritual comfort. And the gospel is supposed to bring sinners outside the church into the church. How does that work? Well, if we are satisfied with that word, the word of God, if we are eager for the power of the word in our lives as newborn babes, we are desiring the milk of the word and that we may grow thereby, grow up, grow closer to God in Christ Jesus. Embrace Him, know Him close. Emmanuel, God with us, God with me. Moment by moment. Is that our desires? Is that what motivates us this morning? That's what the good news is supposed to do. Let me turn with you for a moment in our minds to Isaiah 66. 49 said what? God has forgotten me. But God said, no. Even if a mother forgets her nursing child, the Lord is not going to forget His people. But chapter 66 draws a picture for us of someone who is moved by the gospel, satisfied with Jesus Christ, and is therefore desirous to bless others. I really read it for you. Isaiah 66 verse 10 through 14a. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. That ye may suck, these are little old-fashioned words, but we get the picture. That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. Comfort. That ye may milk out, that is nurse, and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus, in this way, saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice. What's the picture? We drink abundantly of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Christmas. And of his entire life. And as we nurse as a nursing baby with the mother in the Word, it moves us, and God blesses us, and God wants to make us an overflowing stream so that we bless other people around us. The Gentiles will come. That's the promise. And we will be happy and satisfied like a little child, like a little baby that is comfortably lying on the mother's lap while the mother pats the back or strokes the child's back. That's the picture. When we drink abundantly from the gospel, it will be a stream, mighty stream. And we will be satisfied. And we will know He's with us. Because Jesus Christ became a little child, a little baby, hoping on God at his mother's breast. And he can make us exactly that, fully satisfied in the gospel. Amen.